taking their place in a long true line of everyday Americans,
helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you are everyday Americans.
Hello there, everyday Americans, and welcome to the Constitution Study, where we read, we study the Constitution, and we teach the rising generation to be free. I am glad you could join me today. You know, I know sometimes I look at things differently. I just, my mind works in weird ways. And I was looking at some of the news articles popping up lately, and, well, all I could think of is a saying I'd heard many, many years ago. In the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. It's the idea of you don't have to be the smartest, but if you know more than everybody else, if you have more skills, if you have more than everybody else, that makes a difference. Now you say, what does this have to do? Well, I've come across a series of articles, and I want to think about them from the standpoint of just how blind are the people we hire to represent us in our governments. Just how blind are they to facts, to reason, to the Constitution, to everything in our lives? Now, one of the things that's been on the news a lot lately, between what happened months ago in Loudoun, Virginia, what's currently going on in Florida with some legislation, is this idea of who is the guardian of our children? And what responsibilities do parents have to make sure they retain control of the guardianship of their children? Now, I know Hillary Clinton years ago wrote a book, It Takes a Village, that's hogwash. Yes, neighbors, friends, a village can have a tremendous impact on the raising of a child, but it takes parents. They are the ones that are ultimately responsible. Yet too often, at 5 years old, we simply hand our children over to government and say, here, you educate them. You know better than we do. You know, we don't, you do it. Get experts. You figure it out. And then we never pay any attention to, are they really educating our children? You see, there's a concept in the law called in loco parentis, in place of the parents. And whenever you leave your child with another guardian, this concept of in loco parentis rights, what rights, what powers do another adult have in place of the parents for the health and safety of the child? Well, for example, as a child, I was not allowed to go anywhere on a school trip or anything like that without my parents' permission. I was not allowed to have any sort of medical treatment, take any medications without parental permission. But it was the responsibility of the school that if something happened, if I was injured, if I suddenly became ill, that in place of the parents, they could seek medical treatment for me in loco parentis. Well, that seems to have gone to an absurd level. We're seeing more and more instances of schools going beyond education and determining not just to teach your children, but to teach them certain moral values, certain values in conflict with parents and in fact, most of society. We see this in a couple of areas, one of them being this push towards ideas of critical race theory. The idea that you defeat racism by teaching children to be racist. I know that's not the way it's put, but let's face it, we're talking about teaching children to judge other people, including other children, to judge them by race. And we're seeing parents push back saying, no, I don't want my child to be taught to judge others by race. And in fact, in one case, Oliver versus Arnold out of the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, The judge, James Ho, said schools should educate, not indoctrinate. Teachers can teach and teachers can test, but teachers cannot require students to endorse a particular political viewpoint. This idea that in addition to basic education, they can establish a worldview, a societal point of view. They determine that the schools determine what is and is not acceptable in society. Rather than being a reflection of the society, they are going to be change agents in the society. And sadly, to many parents, this goes on and they don't know anything about it. We've seen it also in issues regarding mental health or the reports of teachers and administrators not only endorsing, in some cases, promoting a transgender viewpoint for a child, but keeping it secret from the parents, even keeping medical treatments, the use of certain medications from the parents, which not only is, again, dangerous because you now have a third party, you have someone outside of the family manipulating the child. But if the child is going through certain treatments, the parents, if something should happen, the parents cannot give an accurate medical history should one be needed. That could be true for, again, it could be true for hormones. It could be true for birth control pills. It could be true for any one of a number of things that have, you know, medications that have side effects that the parents aren't aware of. If the child has a reaction, they cannot get proper medical treatment. Now, I remember when my daughter was small, my wife and I agreed, we are not sending her to public school. And this is before things were anywhere near as bad as they are today. Because we recognized, we had at least one eye open, that government schools were not simply about reading, writing, and arithmetic, but about manipulating the next generation to think a certain way, to act a certain way, and in many ways, their agenda was antithetical to our way of thinking, to our faith, and to our belief. Now, being the one-eyed man in that situation, we saw this coming, and we were able to protect our child. But think about what it says about so many public schools that they believe they know better than the parents how to treat your children, what your children should think, what they should believe, whether or not they are a boy or a girl, or whether or not to judge people by the color of their skin. Now, this other one that came up, again, comes from Senator Warren. She's another one of those examples of, you know, better to keep your mouth shut and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and prove it. But this case, maybe not quite. You see, everybody by this point knows that gas and oil prices are through the roof. And contrary to what some might be saying, I believe there are multiple reasons why this is the case. But on a recent broadcast on MSNBC, Senator Warren said, we're going to be on oil companies. Profit margins should not go up. And I suppose there's a little bit of logic to that, right? If oil companies are routinely making, say, 10% profit and suddenly they're at 30% profit, there might be something going on. But I find it interesting that Senator Warren's all set to watch out and keep an eye on oil company profit margins and is not willing to look at what the federal government has done, not simply for that contribute to the high prices of gas and fuel oil, but to the inflation of the economy as a whole. So yes, there are a lot of things. The inflation has been going up for over a year. It is really starting to peak right now, or at least it's growing very rapidly right now. Gas and oil prices have been going up. And it would be foolish to say that it is only because of the war in Ukraine, and it would be foolish to discount the fact that the war in Ukraine, the uncertainty from that, has added to the increased price pressure that's running these prices up. But to have Senator Warren worried about what the oil companies are doing, without appearing to pay attention to what government is doing to contribute to the concerns about shortages of oil. Now, as I understand it, America gets about 8 to 10% of its oil from Russia. We import about 8 to 10% of the oil we use from Russia. Do you know, a couple years ago, we were exporting oil, not importing oil. And that changed pretty much by the time President Biden's policy started going into effect. So the fact that there's less oil available in this country is in large part partially responsible to the party, the leadership of the party that Ms. Warren is a member of. Could that be part of what's going on? You know, and again, Ms. Warren, part of it may be some of the other things Ms. Warren has said. For example, Ms. Warren come up with a very interesting way that she believes will reduce the price of gasoline at the pump. And that's the idea, is to tax the gas companies. Now, I seem to remember President Biden saying one way to deal with inflation is to decrease your costs. But apparently Ms. Warren thinks, and many others, by the way, in the Democratic Party, believe the way to decrease your inflation is to increase the cost of goods by increasing taxes, which refers to as a windfall profit tax. Of course, I don't know what the definition of a windfall is. But you see, this comes from a basic misunderstanding of the terminology being used. See, Ms. Warren said she was worried about profit margins going up, not profits. You see, if you sell $100 worth of stuff at a 10% margin, you made $10. If you now sell $1,000 worth of stuff at the same 10% margin, you've made $100. Now, you've made 10 times more than you made before, but it's because you sold more stuff. The same way a oil manufacturer, an oil company, if they sell a million gallons of gasoline and they make, say, 10 cents a gallon, if they're making 10 cents a gallon on, let's say, $2 a gallon gas. I'll try to use numbers that make sense. So they sell a million gallons of gasoline, they make 10 cents a gallon. When the gas is $2 at the pump is $2 a gallon, then, you know, they're going to make, 10 cents a gallon, a million gallons, that's $100,000 in profit. Okay? If that gas goes to $4 a gallon because of the cost of oil and taxes, and the oil company, say, is still making about 10 cents a gallon, there's still $100,000 they've made. Now, if you think making $100,000 on a million gallons of gasoline is unfair, well, sure, you're going to want to tax it. But we need to be very careful, because taxing things increases their price. So I find it laughable that even if Ms. Warren believes that the profit margins have been going up, simply putting a quote-unquote windfall tax, wouldn't that drive prices up even higher? How is that supposed to reduce the cost at the pump? It's not. It's just another, oil companies are one of Ms. Warren's bete noire. She loves to hate them and will take any opportunity to attack them. That's been her modus operandi for as long as she's been in the Senate. But again, you get to pay the price for her windfall profits tax. We're not talking about a law saying that there's a limit to what energy companies can make or what type of profit margins they can have. No, this is simply an attempt to say, we don't like you, we don't like your business, we don't like the way you do business, and we're going to punish you through taxes and claim somehow that's supposed to lower your costs. Again, in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. And I guess that is the point I want to make. The need to be that one-eyed man, the need to have the information, the understanding. I think that's what John Jay was trying to teach us when he said, every member of the state ought diligently to read and study the Constitution of his country and teach the rising generation to be free. The need to be informed, not simply to be better than everybody else, but to be informed. You know, there's a joke of, you know, two buddies are walking through the woods and they start seeing some signs of bear and they start discussing, what are you going to do if we see a bear? You know, looks at him and says, well, I'm going to put my tennis shoes on. I'm going to put my running shoes on. His friend says, you idiot, you can't outrun a bear. He goes, I don't need to outrun the bear. I just need to outrun you. The idea of needing to be a little bit better than those around you. The need to know a little bit more than those around you. Not for the arrogance of being better, but for the advantage that gives you when you encounter ideas like the idea that the schools are the parents of your children, not you. The idea that educators and administrators know better what your children should be taught, how they should think, how they should feel, whether or not and when they should be entrusted with certain ideas and concepts. Do they know better than the parents? That the government, the experts know better than the parents. That little bit of extra knowledge helps you to deal with that. The recognition that profits are not evil. And that, no, we don't want to do business with companies that take advantage of a situation. But then again, neither should we want to deal with politicians that take advantage of a situation either. Understanding when you're talking about profits and profit margins, what those terms actually mean, what they actually represent, and then the ability to decide how best to deal with them. The idea that taxing something would actually lower its price is patently foolish. But we live in the land of the blind, where most Americans don't think about these things. And the few that do seem to let it roll off them like water off a duck's back. See, Ms. Warren represents the people of the state of Massachusetts. That's her job. She's a U.S. senator. What are the people of the state of Massachusetts doing when they elected her? Do they really think that profits are bad? Again, I don't think profit margins should rise, but just because a company makes a large dollar amount of money doesn't mean that they have huge profit margins. They could be having very small profit margins, but selling huge quantities. Is this taken into consideration? The problem is when we don't have those one-eyed men and women to be kings in the land of the blind. When we don't have, or we just don't hire people that know better how things should be dealt with. I was watching a video the other day, and they were talking about, if you were president, what would you do? And the one person said, the first thing I would do is I wouldn't hire anybody to a cabinet level position that didn't have years of experience in the area which they were going to work. In other words, you'd only hire somebody for the Secretary of Transportation, well, who'd spent years in the transportation industry. Same for energy, same for agriculture. not simply hiring academics, hiring people that actually worked in these roles because they had experience. They understood what it meant for certain, the impact of certain rules and regulations. And I thought that was a good idea. But it got me thinking about our role as employers of those in government. Do we look for men and women that have actually lived in these situations that they're going to write laws about? Are we hiring people who have done more than simply been politicians all their lives? You know, the thought was that the House of Representatives would be a temporary job, a service that you would do for your country, not a profession you'd spend your life in. Sadly, too many have made it a profession because we the people let them. I remember when I interviewed for my first job as a computer programmer. I was young, 20, 21, 22, something like that. It was a small firm. And I got the job. And I remember talking to the owner saying, I got the job because I didn't have a college degree. And I wouldn't have to unlearn all the stuff I learned in college that doesn't work in the real world. And that always stuck with me. It's not that having a degree or not having a degree is something to be proud of, but I've met plenty of men and women who have the degrees, who have passed the tests, they have the certifications, but they don't have the ability to manage large networks, large systems, different applications, because there's a difference between the theory of something and the practice of something. And maybe that's the difference we should be looking for. Are we looking for people who understand the theory of economics or the practice of economics? The theory of the Constitution or the actual practice of the Constitution? The theory of education or the actual practice thereof? I think it's something worth considering. It's something worth spending some time and thinking about. In the second half of the program, I want to look at some examples of more of out-of-touch government, blind government, blind members of government, maybe what some of the American people should be doing or should at least consider doing to act as the one-eyed king. And I want to do that after the break. I do have to take a break, but before I do, I want to point you to constitutionstudy.com. I am looking for questions. I'm looking for good questions that I can answer in a Q&A segment here on the Constitution Study. And I've been thinking about it, and I'm even considering a special Q&A segment where rather than just reading your question, actually having you on the program with me, having you call into my site and ask me the question and we can have an interaction, a conversation. Now, if you'd be interested, whether you want to interview it or not, do me a favor, head to constitutionstudy.com/questions and submit a question. Or just you can also go to constitution.com and click on ask a question. Either way, you are submitting a question. And there's a little checkbox that says, I'd like you to answer this on the radio. And if you'd like to ask it to me over the phone, over Zoom, wonderful. Just make a little note of that and we'll see what we can do. But I am putting together a Q&A section because, one, I love answering people's questions. I love taking the time to do that. But I also find I enjoy interacting with people live, even if it is over a Zoom call. There's something about asking and answering a question and follow-ups that I think just has a real nuance to it. And I think it truly makes a difference. And I think not only will the person asking the question enjoy it, but I think the audience will as well. Now, the other thing you could do is, you wouldn't mind, please head over to healthycell.com. You know, vitamins and minerals are necessary for your body to function. And very often we don't eat as well as we should, or the food we eat doesn't have the minerals and vitamins we need. So many of us take supplements, and many of us have been taking pills for years, and let's face it, the vitamins have been reinvented. They have been upgraded since the 1930s. And along comes Healthy Cell. They have interesting formulas that help you with different parts of your life, but they do it in a predominantly a gel packet. Easy to travel with, easy to take. Take the gel directly or mix it into your drink. You have many different formulas. What I'm going to do during the break is I'm going to reach into my desk. I'm going to grab a packet of Focus and Recall. It helps boost the short-term focus. It helps your brain and your long-term memory. It makes you more effective. And unlike energy shots or energy drinks, even a good strong cup of coffee, it doesn't give you the jitters. It doesn't give you the shakes because it's not loaded with caffeine and sugar, which means it also doesn't give you the crash when it wears out. So give Healthy Cell a try. Try the Focus Recall or any of their products. But when you check out, use the code OUTLOUD. So that does a couple things. One, it tells Healthy Cell that you listen to Out Loud Radio and you listen to the Constitution Study, which means they will give you 20% off your first order. You can order any products that you want. Just make sure you use that code OUTLOUD at checkout to get 20% off your first order. And we'll be right back after this break to learn more about the One-Eyed King in the Land of the Blind.
In 2008, the amount of concentrated time people could spend on a task without becoming distracted was 12 seconds. 5 years later, it was only 8 seconds, 1 second less than a goldfish. If you find yourself always distracted or having trouble recalling information, you're likely to fall behind in the demanding, fast-paced 21st century. In other words, brain performance is more critical now than ever. Boost your brain power with Healthy Cell's Focus Plus Recall. Science-backed nootropics to sharpen focus, concentrate longer, enhance recall, improve mental speed, learn rapidly, and be more alert. It's a pill-free brain supplement made with maximum absorption technology, designed to feed our brains at the cellular level. Take it for a test drive. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Focus Plus Recall. That's HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
In today's world, there's no escaping the headlines filled with warnings about emerging viruses and dangerous superbugs. Genesis is the only technology that safely and effectively obliterates harmful pathogens both in the air and on surfaces. Genesis plus HOCL neutralize these threats to your environment in just seconds. Find out more about this amazing technology at genesisfolger.com/outloud for a 15% discount. With Genesis, you'll be prepared for what's next.
The spirit of American liberty and justice is woven into the soul of America Out Loud. We are the voice of a nation, the American nation, that is. This is Malcolm Out Loud. I invite you back to AmericaOutloud.com, where the fight for liberty and justice continues. America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study. Today, we're dealing with the statement, the truism, that in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. Are we dealing with blind government actors? And by blind, I don't mean not influenced by the outside world, but just plain foolish, ignorant, and unwilling to see what's actually going on around them. We looked in the first half of the program about our schools and the fact that they are blind to the fact that parents are the guardians of their children, not the state, and certainly not the school. We took a look at Senator Warren and some of the blind spots she has when it comes to oil companies and what's driving the high price of gasoline and fuel oil and the like. So now let's take a look at a couple of other blind squirrels. I have not been alone in stating that there will be those who want COVID to linger on and on and on and on. It has been the opportunity for so many with delusions of grandeur and desires of tyrants to influence and run roughshod over the American people and their rights. Classic example includes, the CDC telling the TSA that they're not going to lift the mask mandate on public transportation, even though all the evidence shows that masks do not stop the transmission of COVID, that COVID now is at best an endemic, a seasonal disease, and it is was never as dangerous as we were led to believe. Now let's add to that mix our good old friend Anthony Fauci, the man we love to hate, suggested the other day that it's likely they're going to need more COVID-19 vaccines. Now, I'm sorry, the evidence is out that the vaccine does not function as a vaccine. It does not prevent you from getting COVID. It doesn't prevent you from spreading the novel the SARS-CoV-2 virus. At best, it is, it's a palliative. It makes you feel better. It may minimize the symptoms, but only for a relatively short period of time. It isn't even legally a vaccine. Two of the three of them aren't, because they are not versions of the virus. They are mRNA. They're gene therapy. But no, even though the vaccines have been shown not to work, that they there are significant risks. The reported risks of both adverse effects and deaths are well beyond whatever we've ever seen for any vaccine before in the VAERS system. I mean, it is truly criminal, the mishandling of this information and the fact that the American people have not only been encouraged, but coerced into becoming guinea pigs for an experimental drug when it wasn't necessary, when there were adequate and even inexpensive and well-known treatments that actually worked. But nope. See, Fauci wants to keep a hold on this. He says that there's likely going to need be more vaccines. He said that he was on an interview at CNBC, and he said, how many more will be needed? He goes, we don't know. He says, that's it. He doesn't know. All he knows is he wants this to go on and on and on and on. And if the man had a lick of science in his brain, he would look at this and say, you know what? Maybe the vaccines, our general vaccination is not a good idea. Now, maybe there's a scenario where individuals have a good reason to try this medication, but no. No, this blind squirrel, all he can see, he's like Ahab and his whale. There you go. It's the vaccine. We need more vaccines. It doesn't matter whether it works or not. We got to get the vaccines. Of course, it probably helps that he's making, as if I understand the reports and his finances correctly, he's making a lot of money from all the sales of these vaccines. But that couldn't possibly have anything to do with it. No. So if this is a blind man leading our quote-unquote public health, joined with a blind woman at the CDC, Ms. Walensky, helping to determine policy, this truly is the land of the blind. And really all it's going to take is a one-eyed man to rule it all. Of course, if you're looking for that one-eyed man, it's not the person that currently occupies 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. See, not to be outdone, not only is Walensky and the CDC, not only is Fauci saying, we've got to keep up this charade, that we've got, you know, all the emergency actions over COVID. Now you have President Biden warning, oh my word, if we actually cut back the ridiculous spending we put in place, if we don't authorize more spending, there will be severe consequences, according to our, what we laughingly call our commander-in-chief. See, the administration released a statement that says, as the administration has warned, failure to fund these efforts now will have severe consequences, and we will not be equipped to deal with a future surge. Waiting to provide funding once we're in a surge will be too late. I believe it was Reagan said, the nearest thing to eternal life on Earth is a government program. And we warned you, right? Once the government said, we need to spend all this money because of the disastrous way state and local governments dealt with COVID, they're never going to want to give it up. The administration said, well, the U.S. won't have enough booster shots or vaccines should another variant come out. They went on to say, the federal government is unable to purchase additional life-saving monoclonal antibody treatments and will run out of supply to send to states as soon as late May. Well, let's start with the fact is, why in God's name is the federal government purchasing monoclonal antibody treatments? Why is the federal government purchasing vaccines? It is not their job. They are specifically forbidden from meddling with medical treatments based on the 10th Amendment. But here we have, we just assume a power because the American people were blind to the theft of their rights. The states, those in the state governments, were blind to the theft, to the bribery being offered by Washington, D.C. And now when we say, okay, the emergency is over, let's ratchet this back. Oh, no, we can't do that. You've got to keep sending us money because, well, something else bad might happen. Well, you've made such a mess of this particular scaredemic. Why in heaven's name would we trust you to deal with the next one? Fauci has been caught lying to us for 2 years. We found the CDC has been misrepresenting their data for 2 years. The CDC has, the FDA, I'm sorry, has failed in its job to make sure that whatever hits the market is safe and effective for a year with this COVID. And yet we're supposed to still give them money? If this were the real world, if we weren't being run around by a bunch of blind squirrels, then this company would have been shut down. Fauci, Walensky would have been fired. The CDC, the FDA, the NIH would have been shut down as incompetent buffoons and as a useless waste of time and money. But in the land of the blind, no matter how bad you are, the federal government wants to gets more money to do it. You know, I had someone ask me the other day, why I don't think we should be funding, you know, federal welfare programs and, you know, don't I care about the poor? I said, certainly I care about the poor. It's why I don't want the money going from the federal government. The federal government is horribly inefficient at everything it does. In studies from their welfare program show that only 30 cents out of every dollar actually gets into the hands of somebody in need. And this is the type of organization we want buying monoclonal antibodies. What? So that they can lord it over the states? So they can tell a state, no, we're not going to let you have any more of these because why? Could it possibly be because the governor of that state is from another party and has stood up against the president of the United States? Why would you want to put your access to treatment in the hands of a corrupt government official? Of a corrupt government system? Why should we take good money out of our pockets to give to federal bureaucrats so that they can turn around and spend some of them and use some of that money to bribe us and coerce us to act the way they want? See, it doesn't take a lot to be the one-eyed man or the one-eyed woman. But a little bit of information shows just how evil and corrupt these systems are and how greedy these systems are. You see, if President Biden and his administration was really concerned about the next surge, they wouldn't be taking money out of your pocket so that they can hoard it and use it for whatever they want. No, 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 no. They'd be giving you information about, here's the things you can do. By the way, did you know that you can get ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine for a fraction of the cost of remdesivir? And here's the information about how to get it inexpensively and how to store it properly so that if we have another outbreak, you will be prepared. Anything beyond that is, it's embezzlement. That's the word I'm looking for, embezzlement. We're going to take your money for a corrupt cause. You see, Congress isn't authorized to collect taxes to pay for your medical treatment. It is only for the general welfare of the government, the United States, not the states, not you. Yet because we are a land of blind squirrels, we keep falling for this nonsense. As I keep saying, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me 10,000 times, you are probably an American voter. And as if that little piece of stupidity wasn't bad enough, here we have Nancy Pelosi speaking at the House Democratic Issues Conference, and she told an audience that Biden's Build Back Better agenda won't add to either inflation or the national debt. Now, I'm sorry, you got to be a special sort of stupid to believe that. There's a special set of stupid. How can you spend more money and not increase the national debt? More money that we do not have. If you're taking in the same amount of money, roughly, year after year, and you are adding expenditure after expenditure, how does that not increase the national debt? If you are creating out of thin air more and more and more money through your policies and putting that into circulation, how does that not increase inflation? Yet according to this mental midget, and I'm sorry, you know what? Let me rephrase that. According to this corrupt bureaucratic politician, she can lie with a straight face, look you right in the eye, and say that government spending actually reduces the national debt and is not inflationary. She can tell you that with a straight face, which means either she is a really good liar, and being she's a politician, she's had a lot of practice, or she is so divorced from reality as to, you have to wonder, how do you trust her anywhere near? She's what, third in line for the presidency? You know, a president, vice president, speaker of the House? If something happens to the current administration, if both the president and vice president are either killed or incapacitated, this idiot becomes a commander in chief? I'm sorry, there is no place in the world where spending more money and not taking in more money does not increase your debt. There is no land on earth, there is no reasonable study based on facts and data that says increasing the amount of money without increasing productivity does not lead to inflation. So you want to know why we have this inflation nonsense? In large part, it is because the federal government has been spent decades. This isn't solely Nancy Pelosi's fault. We have spent decades spending more than we take in as a national government. The American people have sat back and taken money from government, not paid it in taxes, and now we are suffering the consequences of what our parents and our grandparents did for decades, and we're making it worse for our children. We are over $30 trillion in debt, folks. If you are an American citizen, you owe, in the name of the federal government, in the name of the credit of the United States, over $90,000 that the federal government has borrowed on the credit of the United States in your name that they have not paid back. That's you, that's your spouse, that's each of your children, that's each of your grandchildren. $90,000 each. And then we're going to spend more money, and somehow magically that's going to, you know, decrease the debt. Now, I'm sorry, but I have to ask, is this the best we can find to exercise our power to represent us in our national government? Is this truly the best we've got? People who apparently are incapable of doing simple math, understanding basic economics, or even much less the Constitution, they swore or affirmed to uphold. We truly are governed by a bunch of blind squirrels. Now, some people have visions in certain areas. They can see certain things, but not others. But I'm sorry. These are the people you hired and I hired. I got to put myself in there, right? This is the people we have all hired to exercise our sovereign authority in our name, to represent us. And this is the best we've got. Now, part of me understands, right? I've been asked before, Paul, you should run for Congress. Why don't you run for Congress? And there's a couple reasons, and I'll be blunt with them. Reason number one, right now, the way Congress and, in fact, the legislators and politicians run, just imagine me in Congress. And since I tend to focus on a national constitution, we'll talk about the Congress of the United States. So just imagine me in Congress. The first thing I'm going to do is I am not going to bend the knee to any political party. And so at best, I'd be an independent, which means no one's going to like me. Now, the other thing is I have my political platform consists of one simple document, the Constitution of the United States, which means any piece of legislation that comes across my desk, if the entire piece of legislation is not authorized by the Constitution of the United States, my vote is no. I don't care if it's must-pass legislation. I don't care what it is. If the entire legislative bill is not authorized by the Constitution of the United States, my vote is no. And it's not up to me to prove it's unconstitutional. The sponsors of the bill have to prove to me that it is constitutional, which means you drop a 2,500-page piece of legislation on my desk and say, we're voting on it tomorrow, my vote is no. My vote is no until you prove that it's actually, first you prove that it's constitutional, then I'll decide whether or not it's worthy of support. How does that sound? How do you think I'm going to be treated by the leadership then? You know what they're going to do? They're not going to give me any decent committee assignments. They're going to shove me in a corner and try to keep me quiet, which, of course, is probably fine, which means I'll have that much more time to write and file articles of impeachment for all of the impeachable acts I see in the federal government. That's really going to make me popular. I'm certainly this is not a popularity contest. All of those things are what would happen if I were asked to serve in Congress. So I said, I am not going to beg for anybody's vote. If people want me to serve, whether it be Congress or the school board or as dog catcher, all they have to do is ask. I live in a county in Tennessee. If they want me to serve in the county somewhere, okay, ask. Here's my position. Here's my platform. If the people want me, I believe it'll be my duty to serve. But I'm not going out and begging people for votes. That's not who I am. See, I'm not the politician. I have never been good playing politics. It's one of the reasons I'm glad I'm out of corporate America. There's just too much politics involved. I'm the type, I am that, you know, no-nonsense guy that reads a document, writes what it says, and then defends his position, which is exactly the opposite of what it appears we have in Congress and in most of our state legislatures. See, we are hiring people because the people that get attracted to those positions are the blind squirrels, the ones that are willing to compromise to get something done, the ones that are willing to compromise not only what they think is best, but the oath that they took to take that office. I'm not willing to do that. That's not who I am. And the question is that what the people want representing them? See, if the people want someone like me representing them, again, all they have to do is ask. If, on the other hand, people want people like Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Rick Scott, Governor DeSantis, if that's the type of person you want, then go for it. But that's not who I am. Because I have this really serious problem of looking people right in the eye and telling them exactly what I think. So, for example, when I found this article, that this one was great. So, with what's been going on in Ukraine, with Russian saber-rattling involving nuclear weapons, of course, our blind squirrels in Washington have to have something to say. So I saw this report that the U.S. government is advising Americans what to do in case of a nuclear attack. Now, again, this advice comes from ready.gov, an official government, federal government website. So the first thing they say, if there's a nuclear attack, okay, go to the basement or middle of the building. Okay, the basement kind of makes sense, right? Because what they're talking about is not the nuclear blast, but dealing with nuclear fallout. They say stay away from outer walls and roofs. All right. Again, I'm not a nuclear physicist, but depending on what the roof and walls of your house are made of, depends on how much radiation they will absorb and prevent from penetrating the house. But not bad doing here. Try to maintain a distance of at least 6 feet between yourself and people who are not a part of your household. Excuse me, the federal government says that the proper response to nuclear fallout is social distancing? It goes on to say, if possible, wear a mask if you're sheltering with people who are not part of your household. Again, the blind squirrel. The social distancing is now the big thing. I'm sorry. The next thing they're going to say, listen, if you have a broken leg, social distance. If you get shot by a bullet, social distance. Don't hang out. Wear a mask. Because obviously, if you are worried about someone who's contaminated with radiation, staying 6 feet away is going to make the tremendous difference. See, it doesn't say someone who is possibly contaminated. It only says someone who is not part of your household. Meaning if someone who's part of your household is possibly contaminated, you can stay within 6 feet of them. But if your neighbor comes over and they have not been possibly contaminated, they have to stay 6 feet apart. Tell me this is not the land of the blind. Tell me this is not a website being run by a bunch of blind squirrels. Next, they say to remain indoors for 24 hours and await further instructions. And they say, continue to practice social distancing by wearing a mask and by keeping a distance of at least 6 feet between yourself and the people who are not part of your household. These are the idiots we're supposed to listen to. We're going to take precautions for an airborne disease that don't work, and we're going to apply them to nuclear radiation. I'm sorry, I have a hard time taking anything these people say seriously. I'm not kidding. If ready.gov told me that sunshine was good for you, I'd have to check on that. I can't believe the level of stupid coming out of this group. And apparently, again, I believe this is being put forth by the Federal Emergency Management System Agency, what we call FEMA, or is what I call them, FEBLE, and does it really take, in the 330 million Americans, we can't find 535 people better than this to be in Congress? We can't find people better than this to deal with these issues, to give us advice? And I am convinced, now maybe I'm wrong, but I'm pretty convinced that the issue is not intelligence. The issue is wisdom. See, a little intelligence says radiation is different from an airborne virus. Wisdom says, well, then maybe our reaction to potential nuclear fallout should be different. But you see, what we have is not wisdom. What we have is partisanship. See, these are COVID protocols. And they were added by FEMA, by ready.gov, to deal with nuclear fallout. There was a movie, what was it? My Big Fat Greek Wedding, where one of the family members, the answer to everything was Windex. You know, you cured everything with Windex. I guess to a hammer, everything looks like a nail. But these are blind squirrels. Now, sure, every once in a while, even a blind squirrel finds a nut. But why do the American people listen to them? Why do we keep hiring these people? Why do we pay attention to what they have to say? Why is it when they've been shown to be completely ignorant, incorrect, corrupt, as soon as something changes, we start listening to them again? Why? You would think by now, having been lied to so often, the American people would have learned. Sadly, apparently the answer is they haven't. And I really don't know what to do other than what I feel I've been called to do, and that is to help everyday people read and study the Constitution for themselves. Help open the eyes of the people who have been brainwashed into thinking you do whatever government official tells you to do. Doesn't have to make sense, doesn't have to follow reason or logic, doesn't have to follow the Constitution or laws. You just do it. I had a comment on YouTube the other day where someone said, nullifying legislation passed by Congress is a definition of sedition. No, it's not. It's a definition of following the law. See, if Congress passes a law that's repugnant to the Constitution, it's void. Well, that's not me saying it. That's Alexander Hamilton. That's the Supreme Court of the United States in Marbury versus Madison. It's James Madison in the Virginia Resolution. It's Thomas Jefferson in the Kentucky Resolution. These all recognize that acts of Congress contrary to the Constitution are void. They're empty. They're meaningless. You are not usurping. You are not fighting against a legitimate government when that government is acting illegitimately. But it's going to take a few more one-eyed squirrels to help us educate the rest of them, to open the eyes of the rest of them. So please join me in doing this. Take this radio program. It's going to post on the website a couple days after it's heard on the air. Share it with friends and family. Share it with your neighbors. Go to the website, constitutionstudy.com. Find information. Share it. Help open the eyes of your fellow blind squirrel. Maybe then we can run this kingdom with a little more sanity and a little less stupidity. Now, I want to remind you that America Out Loud Talk Radio plays on the iHeartRadio Network. You can listen on our media player from anywhere in the world, on any web browser you like. We have the best-in-class apps for Apple, Android, and Alexa. And from those apps, you can stream 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, not only the live programs, but the podcasts as well. So join us as we try to open the eyes and share the blessings of liberty to our fellow Americans.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors, and have a few good friends.